The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 7th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. A little bit of an overcast, kind of a gloomy day outside in the Auburn-Opelika area. So I hope you're doing well and staying busy like we all are this time of year. And man, when I tell you there's a lot to get to on the show today, there's a lot to get to on the show today. Thursdays are always jam-packed, and it's going to be a little less jam-packed today. We normally have three great guests that join us on the show pretty much throughout the entire program. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, Coach Etheridge, Coach Keith Etheridge from Auburn High School Football, and Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. No Brad Law today in preparation for them getting ready for Auburn basketball in Houston. He is taking the week off from us. We will pick back up with him next week. But we will still have Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, at 3 o'clock. And then we're going to have Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, the daily Southeastern Conference podcast. He will join us coming up at 3:30. So what that means for you is phone lines are open. It's you and me in hour number one. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about on this Thursday? 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Give me a call. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about on this Thursday afternoon? We have a lot to discuss on the show today. More college football as we need to flip the page. What's coming up this weekend around the SEC, around college football? Auburn's off on a bye week, thank goodness. And so lots of other games that we can pay attention to that have now major college football playoff implications. We'll talk about that today. Plus, Auburn basketball got off to a fiery start last night inside of Neville Arena, and that's where I want to start today because, my goodness, that was a beatdown. That was a whooping is what Auburn did last night inside of Neville Arena. Season opener for Bruce Pearl and the boys, and they did not disappoint. They told us going into this game that they were not overlooking or underestimating what Vermont was going to be bringing to the table on a Wednesday night inside of Neville Arena. And the way Auburn executed and the way they beat that Vermont team, I think they were telling us the truth. And Bruce Pearl said it in his post-game press conference last night, too. He said, this result does not reflect what Vermont is or what they're not. He said, this result is a direct correlation to our preparation and focus on Vermont. And, you know, you look at a game like this and the season opener, you'd like to think, well, yeah, you've had plenty of time to prepare for a team like that. And it's the opener and they're, you know, they're a mid-major and you should beat them by a lot in the opener. Yeah, you're right. But that's a team that's won 8 straight conference championships, 9 out of the last 10. That's an NCAA tournament team, and you beat them by 51. 51 points. This wasn't the varsity team taking on middle school, right? This wasn't taking on the managers on Auburn's team. This was a legitimate Division I, a respectable college basketball team that felt pretty good about themselves coming off a win against UAB just a few nights ago. And man, they walked into Yeah, buzzsaw is not even the right word. They walked into just the, I don't know. I don't know what to call it. They walked into the slaughterhouse and Auburn did their thing. 94-43, final score. Auburn takes down Vermont. Give me your thoughts. 334-321-1390. You could call in with your thoughts, or you can shoot me a text in the on-the-line text box, that number 334-784-1067. I know you guys enjoyed that game last night, but I want to hear what you have to say about it. Who'd you like? Who'd you not like? Any concerns in a game like this? Right as Auburn now turns the page, speaking of that, they turn the page to Houston coming up this weekend. That is in Houston, a quote, neutral site game, whatever. Auburn will play a really, really good Houston team. We'll talk about that later today and a lot tomorrow as well. But I want to get back to some of the criticisms about Auburn, because there were people saying Auburn should be on upset watch. They should be on upset watch, that Auburn should be careful that Vermont could come in and beat this team. And look, Christian and I talked about this yesterday. That is a good Vermont team. That's a Vermont team that's probably going to win their conference again. That's probably going to be in the NCAA tournament. And that's what Bruce Pearl said last night, was that was a first-round matchup that Auburn played last night. Now, sure, it was at home, but, man, you beat them 94-43. That's an embarrassment. That is, man, that's not normal, right? That's not normal to do. And Auburn did it on both ends of the floor. But, you know, for those that say, well, yeah, you should have been prepared. You had all offseason. That was a season opener. You should have been ready. Yes, but I don't think this is just a one-time thing. Again, we'll get to game specifics in a second. But just my initial takeaways from this, and there's a lot of takeaways from the game, but my biggest takeaway is from Bruce Pearl in the post-game press conference. I was there at Neville. I was covering it, a part of the media. And he comes in and sits down after we got a chance to talk to Miles Kelly and Denver Jones, who were great, by the way. And he sits down, and a lot of times Bruce will smile and be a little bit relaxed that the game is finally over if they come off the win. You know, he'll usually have a joke or two and loosen up a little bit and answer some good questions. But last night, he walks in, he sat down, and we started asking him a few things, and he never broke. He never loosened up. He never relaxed. He was laser focused. He was serious. He was timid. Not in a bad way, just tense. And he started saying those things that I've already said, where he said this was our preparation for Vermont that showed tonight. Right, we did these things right. We didn't do these things right. We need to do this. We need to do that. Now we focus on Houston, right? He said all the right things, but it's the way that he said it. And the preparation and the work that they put in for this Vermont team, folks, I have a feeling you're going to see this for every single opponent on Auburn's schedule. And maybe they did that, and maybe they practiced that way, knowing that they're going to have to do it several times in this non-conference schedule, right, with the Houstons and Purdue's and the Dukes of the world. And maybe that's why they did it for this one, so they could do it for all of them. And if that's the case, Auburn may never lose a game. Auburn may never lose. If they go out and play like that, which, again, I know you're going to see much better defensive teams, but Vermont's not a bad team. That's not a bad team at all. I'm telling you, they just walked into something they had no idea what was coming. And let's be real. We didn't know that was coming. We knew this team was good, right? We knew Auburn had some talent, and they've been saving everything up for quite some time, but nobody predicted 94 points, a 51-point win, and just a beatdown on a Wednesday night in Neville. Nobody predicted this. And it was just a little bit different than what I've seen in the past. The way Auburn handled themselves, carried themselves, executed, not in every aspect, but for most of it, even in a blowout, which is really hard to do, really, really hard to do. Execute, settle down, and run what you're supposed to. It's nearly impossible. But this team just looked different. And there were so many of them. Christian Griffin and I mentioned this yesterday, and we've talked about this quite a bit, where there's so much talent on this team, you just don't know where it's going to come from. And it was really, really nice to see it all on the floor for the first time last night. And yet, we have not seen even anything near the possibilities of how good this team can be. But it was good to see them on the floor and see different rotations and see different, you know, just combinations of players. And, man, you start looking into some of the numbers here. Auburn shot 56% from the floor. They shot almost 46% from three. They only turned it over 9 times in 40 minutes. That's pretty good. And they out-rebounded 43-31. They out-rebounded Vermont 43-31. Some other box score things here in terms of some of the team stats. We'll get to that. And then some of the box score stuff when we come back from a break. Again, Auburn shoots 56% from the floor. They knocked down 16 three-pointers. 16 of 35 from downtown. I'd like to tell you that that's not going to be the same story every game, but I don't know. Maybe it will. And what am I talking about, the makes or the attempts? I would like to say that Auburn probably won't shoot 35 threes a game and probably won't make 16 threes a game, but man, if guys like Miles Kelly get hot like he did, Auburn's going to let it fly. All right, you keep looking through what Auburn did. I'd like to see more free throw attempts. Only 11 on the night, and you only made 6 of them. So it's a small sample size, but something that needs to change. Offensive effort, rebounding effort in general was really, really good. Was really impressed with what Auburn was able to do with the boards and fight their way through. And man, the young guys played really, really well. Look at these fast break points. 16-2 for Auburn. They got out and ran. This team is fast. They are physical. They're athletic. And I've watched a little bit of college basketball this year, the games that have been on so far through the first, 3 days of action. Folks, I haven't seen a team that looked like Auburn. I have yet to see a team that looks and acts like this Auburn team does. And I'm not saying that because we're sitting in the heart of Auburn Opelika on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7. I'm not just saying it because of that. There's a lot of basketball left and there's a lot of teams I haven't seen. But nobody has looked like they looked last night. And that could just be a glimpse of what we might possibly see all season long. Whether they can keep up that level of play, I don't know. We're going to have to see. But for a team that only turned it over 9 times, forced 16 turnovers, and scored 25 points off those turnovers, outscoring Vermont by 15 in the turnover match, in the turnover margin, in the points off turnover margin, that's winning basketball. Points in the paint, dominated, 36-18. That's winning basketball. You blocked them 7 times to their 3. That's winning basketball. You stole it 10 times to their 6. That's winning basketball. You assisted 15 times on 36 shots. I'd like to see that be a little bit more, but it's still winning basketball. And every other stat that I've read you, all signs point to a winning team. And I'm not even talking about the final score. Auburn's good. And this is not an overreaction from just one game, because Auburn's going to have some tough ones, and Auburn will have some losses. But this team is special, and there's a lot of players that make that right and make that possible. I want to talk about the details of this game and what we saw and what we heard inside of Neville Arena last night as Auburn starts the season 1-0. They look like a top 15 team, don't they? We'll talk about the 94-43 win over Vermont last night in Neville Arena. That's coming up next. We'd love for you to be a part of it. 334-321-1390. We will take a break. Be right back on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, talking Auburn basketball as they get the season started off right with a huge win over Vermont, 94-43 last night inside of Neville Arena, a place that Auburn, unfortunately, in non-conference play, just isn't going to be in a lot of, right? I mean, they're going to Houston this weekend. They get Purdue up in Birmingham. They go to Duke coming up in that first week of December. I believe that's on a Wednesday on December 4th. And they're going to play in a tournament. I mean, there are just a lot of non-conference games that aren't going to happen inside of Neville Arena. And we've told you why, and heck, Bruce has done everything he can to basically tell you why without actually telling you why. You get credit for all these big games against big powerhouse schools if you play them neutral site or on the road. You just don't get a whole lot of that when you play them at home. And a lot of that has to do with the net ranking, right? The net ranking is one of the most used, I guess, best way to say it, the most used system, right? One of those ranking system, the numbers and all that. That's one of the most used for the NCAA Tournament Committee. That's what they, between that and KenPom and all of that stuff, right? They use that and seed teams in the tournament. And so you get more credit and have more flexibility if you play those teams neutral side or on the road. But I've been told by a lot of people, a lot of Auburn basketball fans, look, we get that. Look, we totally understand that. But you got to take care of the fans. You got to take care of the people that support you. And I totally agree. I mean, you start looking before we get to the details of the Auburn-Vermont game. And again, phone lines are open. Give us a call at 334-321-1390. The games you have at home, Vermont, Kent State, North Alabama, Richmond, which will end up being, I think, a pretty good game, Georgia State, and Monmouth. That's what you get in the non-conference slate. You don't get any big names at home. That Purdue game on December 21st, that's in Birmingham. Ohio State, that's in Atlanta. Duke, that's at Duke. Iowa State, and then whoever else you play, right, that's part of the Maui Invitational. And then your game against Houston, as I mentioned, that is in Houston. So it's frustrating, and I know where fans are coming from. You want to have some of those big-time games, and you will in SEC play, but it is what it is. Auburn is, they were there last night, though, 94-43. And when you start looking at the box score and you start breaking this thing down a little bit, you have to start in just one place. The guy who caught fire, who sent Neville Arena into a frenzy. He goes 7 of 11 from the floor, 7 of 9 from downtown. All 7 buckets were from deep. He missed just 2 of them. Had a few rebounds as well, had a steal, had a block, and 21 points. That is one of the single-handed most insane individual runs I think I've ever seen in a college basketball game. That dude could not miss. He was doing it from everywhere. Off the pass, right? Shooting from the hip. He was pulling up from half court, 28 feet, from the wing, from the point. He couldn't miss. 7 of 9 from downtown is what he ended up being last night. Helps Auburn shoot 46% from the three-point line as a team. That's unheard of. And that's not going to happen every single game, I don't think. And it's funny because we had a chance to talk to Denver Jones last night after the game in the post-game presser, and somebody asked about, because Miles Kelly was there too, and we got to talk to him, and I asked Miles about the crowd at Neville and getting in front of them, and he said, look, the guys told me this place was awesome, but I hadn't got a chance to really see it until tonight. And when I got on a roll, he was like, it was awesome. He said, I kind of blacked out for a minute. And then somebody asked Denver if he expected Miles to have a game like this, and Denver started laughing, and he said, look, I tried to tell y'all. He said, I tried to tell you back at SEC Media Day a few weeks ago, Miles Kelly, the transfer, is our best shooter. And he showed that last night, didn't he? He showed it last night. 21 points for Miles Kelly, number 13 for Auburn. And man, that was off the bench. That's a dude off the bench that played 18 minutes. My guess is that 18 minutes were not in the original game plan when Bruce Pearl and Auburn walked into this matchup. But when shooters are hot, get him the basketball. When you're hot, you're hot. And you leave him in the basketball game. And if anything, Miles Kelly earned some more minutes last night with his 21-point performance. So that was incredible to watch. And it truly was heat check after heat check after heat check. And our buddy Jack Hutton texted us yesterday and he said, is it a heat check if he just keeps making them, or is he just on a heater? And I think he was right. I think Miles Kelly was just on a heater, man. He was letting it fly, and it was awesome. He finished with 21 points. Another great bench performance. Chaney Johnson played really, really good last night. 13 points, 9 total rebounds in just 16 minutes of play. He went 6 of 8 from the floor. Missed, his only two misses were from behind the arc, which, let's be real. If you've got somebody like Miles Kelly on the bench who can knock him down, Chaney Johnson doesn't need to shoot all that much from out there, I think. Because he put on some serious muscle. He's got some serious size. His IQ is already ahead of where it was a year ago. And so, just let him bang inside. Grab rebounds. And get tough, earned buckets. You let Chaney Johnson do that, and you're in really good shape. And if he can put up 13 points and 9 rebounds in just 16 minutes, if you get anywhere near that effort every time he steps on the floor, Auburn's going to be a really dangerous team. All right, you had Ja'Kai Howard, who had 7 points. Of course, he had the highlight reel windmill dunk, which is something everybody's been waiting for, and he got to do that. A couple of other guys off the bench got some scores. Jaheim Hudson, would curious to see more of him. Want to see how much he ends up playing on this team. Couple of the bench guys got in as well, which was really, really cool. And then your starters. No, we got just a couple of minutes here. You had J.P. Pegues with 8. You had Chad Baker-Mazzara with 11. Jani Broome with 12. And Denver Jones with 16. And your starting 5, right, was Denver, J.P., Chad Baker, Jani, and Dylan. So Bruce did start Jani and Dylan together. And that's something we were wondering if they were going to do and how long that they were going to do it if they went that direction. Now we kind of sit in that area, right, of how long will Jani and Dylan start together. I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine. Dylan didn't get any points last night, which I hate to see, but he only shot the basketball once. Had 4 rebounds, couple of assists, couple steals, had a block. And just didn't contribute on the scoreboard, but contributed in other ways. Jani looked good. Had a couple of threes that looked really, really good. A couple of shots inside. Had some free throw. Didn't get any free throw attempts. And so I'd like to see more of that. But, man, 12 points, 7 rebounds for Jani Broome, and you win by 51? Yeah, you're doing something right. You're absolutely doing something right. And between Chad Baker, who had a quiet 11 points, I feel like, very, very quiet 11 points. JP had 8. I liked what I saw from him. Didn't miss from the floor. He was 3 for 3 on the night. 3 for 3 from the floor, 2 for 2 from downtown, 4 rebounds, couple of steals as well. And Denver Jones with 16 total points. I love him at the point guard spot, man. I just do. I love Denver Jones playing the point guard spot. 16 points, 5 of 6 from the floor, couple of rebounds, couple of assists, had a steal, and just really commands this offense on that side. And Auburn ain't scared. They're not afraid to run, man. They will run down the floor, and they're going to get buckets before people can even realize what happened. So, lot more to get to, lot more to break down. Auburn wins 94-43. Do want to flip over to football, though, when we come back. Remember, no Brad Law today, so we'll talk football when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
Are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. No Brad Law today, taking a break from him. They're getting ready for the Auburn basketball game out in Houston. So phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. We've been talking a lot of Auburn basketball, but I am going to switch over to a little bit of football, because while Auburn may not be playing this weekend, and some of you are probably thankful for that, there are a lot of great college football games coming up this weekend. And now that we have the first college football playoff rankings, right, those have now been applied. Those are what you will see on websites and TV and articles and things like that, right? That is now the ranking system that we will use for the rest of the season. Now that we have that, I feel that we have a better idea of what games and which matchups and which teams have playoff implications or playoff hopes, right? And Christian and I were talking yesterday. We still don't really know what an elimination game is, because we don't know what the committee is going to do at the end of the season. But we can at least look and tell, okay, these teams can probably afford a loss. These teams probably can't afford a loss, and then there's some teams that are probably just fighting for their lives. And, you know, you start looking through the top 25, and you've got Ohio State, who's taking on Purdue this weekend. Somehow this got the big noon kickoff. There must not be any other game in the Big Ten this weekend, because Purdue's 1-7. They're terrible. And Ohio State's back home, so they'll get Ohio State's favored by 38 points. That tells you all you need to know. In a conference matchup, they're favored by 38 points. So, Miami is on the road at Georgia Tech. That's the fourth-ranked team in the country right now, Miami. On the road at Georgia Tech, who started the year really well, right? They started really hot. Everybody jumped on them, and then that kind of fizzled out pretty quickly. But we all know that's a Miami team that has had some really close calls. Some really close calls, and some questionable calls at that. I just feel like they're a ticking time bomb, man. I just feel like they are one play away from everything crumbling beneath them. They just feel like a really unsturdy bridge that you keep going across it because it hasn't fallen yet. But as soon as you do, right, with your luck, it'll crash and everything will come falling to the ground. That's how I feel with Miami. I can't trust him, man. I don't know. As good as Cam Ward is, I just can't trust them yet. And here's the problem. They're going to go the entire season and will not have played one ranked opponent. Not one. Florida wasn't ranked. South Florida wasn't ranked. Virginia Tech, California, Louisville was ranked at one time, but they were not when they played, even though Louisville just beat Clemson. So maybe Louisville's not so bad, and that was a 7-point win for Miami at Louisville, but they still weren't ranked. Florida State and Duke is who they've beaten so far. And the teams they have remaining on the schedule, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse. And so How can we feel comfortable? How can we feel confident in a Miami team that when the season's done and they ultimately win or probably win the ACC, well, I take that back. The only time they're going to play a ranked team, if they win out, is if they go to the conference championship game. That's the only time that we would see Miami play a ranked opponent is in the conference championship game. And maybe they get exposed, or maybe they shut me up and they win and they prove it and we put them in the playoff and they have a chance to win it all. But before that happens, I don't know. I have no hope. I have no solid ground to base the fact on Miami being a top four team other than the fact that they haven't lost to any of the bad teams they've played. Number five, Texas gets Florida this weekend, which, by the way, did you see that news today? Did you see that news today that Florida announced that Billy Napier will return to Gainesville next season? He will be back. Billy Napier saved his job this season. How many of us had that when the season started? I didn't. All the jokes were, at what game, at what point in the season would they fire Billy Napier? Could they fire him in the opener if they lost to Miami? We really talked about that. And remember, we said the Miami-Florida game at the start of the season was a loser-leave-town type of game. And Florida got waxed. And Billy Napier's still going to be the head coach in Gainesville. Isn't that crazy? But I'll say this, not to go on this tangent for too long, but good for Florida. Good for Florida. I don't know how their fans feel about it. They're probably not happy. If any Florida fans are listening, would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or the text box at 334-784-1067. But good for the University of Florida, because there's a reason I say this. That took guts for them to come out and back their man and say, we don't want to go through a coaching search. We don't want to pay this guy to not work here. We want to trust the process and see how it goes. And we believe that he can make it right. And you know what? Through eight games this season, I think Billy Napier has earned that right. I think he's earned it. I think he has shown enough growth and enough fight from him, his coaching staff, and his players. He has shown a little bit of progress. That's the difference in what's happening with Billy Napier at Florida, the fact that he's going to retain his job, and what's happening with Hugh Freeze here in Auburn. That's the difference. Billy finally showed a little progress. He finally showed a little success. And wouldn't you know, it was at the feet and the hands and the arm of a very, very, very skilled freshman quarterback. With talent around him, yes. Good dudes on the defense, sure. But it came at the hands of a talented quarterback. Crazy how that works, huh? And he was so talented that he won them some games. I know he's hurt now, but they believe they can keep him around, and they believe he could be the future of Florida football. So much so, they didn't fire the guy. They didn't fire Billy Napier. They let him keep his job. They're not going to win another game this year. They're going to go 4-8 this season. They have Texas, LSU, Ole Miss. Well, sorry, I forgot they have Florida State. So they're going to go 5-what? They'll go 5-7 this year. All things considered, I think that's better than what most people gave them. That's more than their win total said. What was that? 3.5, 4.5, 2.5? What was it? I can't remember. But 5 wins would be more than it, I can tell you that. And I think that's good enough to keep his job. So good for Florida, man. I respect that a lot, that they decided to keep him. Gators are in Austin this Saturday. The game of the week in the SEC, possibly the game of the weekend. Well, oh, God, I keep forgetting that both of these games exist. I misspoke. Apologies. the two best games in college football this weekend, both taking place inside the Southeastern Conference. The first will take place 2:30 on Saturday on ABC when Kirby and the third-ranked Dogs of Georgia go on the road and visit Lane Kiffin in Oxford with the 16th-ranked Rebels after what they just did, the annihilation they had against Arkansas. Georgia favored by 2.5 in this game. And this is one of those where we wish we knew if this was truly an elimination game. I think for Ole Miss it is, right? Just given their resume and how it's not all that. I think this would be the game where if you lose, you're probably done. But I think if they win, I think they hang around. Because they're 16th right now. And they got to get inside that top 12 somehow. And I think a win over a top 3 Georgia team could get it done. Here's the thing with the Dogs. They're only 7-1, 5-1 in the SEC. That's still a great record, right? And for them, as still the number 3 ranked team in the country, right? They are ranking them as they think they are going to be the SEC champions. But what happens when they're not? What happens if Georgia loses this game, they tumble, and Texas takes over that top spot, right? Texas takes over that top spot in the SEC because they don't believe that Georgia's going to win at all or win the SEC anymore. Then where does Georgia fall? Where is their actual ranking after that? That's what I'm curious of. And a loss would give us that exact answer. Here's what's fascinating here. A loss for Georgia would give us so many answers in this college football playoff crossword puzzle that we're trying to figure out right now. In year one, with so many questions on, well, what would they do if this happened? What would they do if this team lost? Or if this team lost to this team? Or if they were eliminated here? Or if they, you know what I mean? We have so many of those questions right now. And I think a Georgia loss would give us a ton of those. Which, not that Auburn fans need any extra motivation to cheer against Georgia, but there you go. There's some more. Dogs and Rebels, 2:30 on Saturday. Michigan and Indiana go at it. The Hoosiers favored by 2 touchdowns against Michigan. Has that ever happened? Has Indiana ever been favored by 2 touchdowns against Michigan, much less the defending national championship Michigan Wolverines? Yeah, they're 5-4, but they still won it all last year. Iowa State, after they tumbled, they go to Kansas. Clemson, after they tumbled, and I mean tumbled, they're down to 23 in the college football playoff rankings. They're at Virginia Tech. I think Clemson's done. I think they're 2-barbecue. I think they're out. Army, still undefeated, still ranked. Barely, though. They're in the top 25 at number 25. They take on North Texas. A couple of other games we won't waste any time on. In the game of the week in college football, game of the week in the SEC is Saturday night. In Baton Rouge, 6:30 on ABC, when Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama Crimson Tide walk into to Tiger Stadium and take on Brian Kelly and LSU, ranked at number 15 in the country. Number 11, Alabama. Number 15, LSU. Tide favored by 2.5. Does that smell fishy to you? It does to me. Something doesn't smell right here. Something doesn't seem right. With Alabama being favored by 2.5. And I know LSU just got smacked around by Texas A&M. I get it. I do. I totally, totally get it. But something just doesn't seem right here to me. So I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Because both of these teams are coming out of a bye week. Right? Both of these teams are 6-2. Overall this season, one team is 3-2 in conference, the other one 3-1. Bama coming off of a win over Missouri 2 weeks ago, LSU coming off that loss at Texas A&M. But LSU, I just feel like they're the better team. I still feel that they're the better team. And Alabama has done nothing to impress me this season, nothing. 34-0 over Missouri? Okay, congrats. That's not that great. That's a Missouri team that was playing with his 18th quarterback of the year and a defense that can't hang. I just don't understand why Bama's favored in this game. If I would have just told you, hey, I think this team is favored, without looking at it, if I would have given you my prediction, I would have said probably LSU 2.5, honestly. So I don't know. I don't think this one's passing the smell test. But regardless, I think you do have a true elimination game here. I really do. And I'll tell you why I think that. Because Alabama is ranked 11th, just inside the top 12, right? Just in to the college football playoffs. And LSU is 15th, just outside of the top 12 in the college football playoff. If Alabama wins, they stay in. If they lose, they fall out. If LSU wins, they jump in probably. And if they lose, they drop even further and they're done. Now, here are the teams ranked in between Alabama at 11 and LSU at 15. Boise State 12, they would move up with an Alabama loss. SMU at 13, they would move up with an Alabama loss. And Texas A&M, would they move up with an Alabama loss? I think that's an interesting story because A&M takes on New Mexico State next weekend. A&M's on a bye. So A&M's kind of irrelevant here for the moment. SMU, who do they play this weekend? Are they off too? Probably. Yep, they are. So A&M and SMU are both off this weekend. Does Boise State play this weekend? Let's find out. Survey says they do. They play Nevada. They should win. So regardless, the teams in between Bama and LSU shouldn't change their loss column number. They shouldn't take any losses. Two of them are on a bye, and I think Boise beats Nevada. So they should all move up with a Bama loss. The question is, could LSU jump any of them? Any one of them, any combination of them, and move into that top 12? And does anybody in front of them lose this weekend? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But I do think LSU-Alabama, the winner stays alive, and I think the loser may just be done. All right, let's take our final break here in hour number one. Give me a call. What's on your mind? It's you and me here in hour number one, 334-321-1390. Reminder that Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, he'll join us coming up to start hour number two. That's at 3 o'clock. So if you want to get in on the show, you better do it now. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you all being with me on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up in hour number two, we'll start the hour with Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. Good to get him back on the program after a bye week last week. Off week, I guess, is the better way to put it. But get him back on the program. I'll tell you more about that in just a second. And then Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, the daily SEC podcast, will be joining us. He's been a busy man, and there is so much to talk about around the SEC every single day. Now you have football, of course, but now you've got basketball too. And we're going to get him on, and we're going to talk about the games coming up this weekend. Of course, Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama LSU. Talked a little bit of basketball with him as well. I'm looking forward to that in the second hour. But like I said, we will start with Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, where he's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the first round of the playoffs for Auburn High School football as the Tigers are hosting Bob Jones coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow. My days are all messed up. Coming up tomorrow, Auburn High will be hosting Bob Jones in the first round of the playoffs as Auburn is the number one team in the state of Alabama. Folks, they're ranked 23rd in the country. The 23rd ranked team in all of high school football is going to be back in action tomorrow night. So, man, I'm so excited. It's been such a fun ride with this team and this program. It's been a blessing, really, to be a part of it because, man, they're just so good and they're so fun and they're just so exciting on both sides of the football, offensively and defensively. It's just, you know, they're going to give you everything they've got, and there's just so many teams that have not been able to keep up with them yet on the scoreboard. And they're going to get their shot to prove some more, right? What they did in the regular season, they're going to get a chance to do that tomorrow in the playoffs. So Auburn and Bob Jones coming up tomorrow night. That's at Duck Sanford Stadium right here on the Plains. So excited for that. You can catch all the coverage if you weren't able to get playoff tickets. I know it's tough. You can be a part of our broadcast. We are on the air tomorrow night, 6:30 pregame, kickoff at 7 on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Jack Hutton and I will be on the call. No Rob Pate this week. He'll be back next week, though, as long as we have a playoff game, which we hope we do, and can't take anything for granted, though, in postseason time. So that, again, is tomorrow. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7. Auburn and Bob Jones, round one of the 7A AHSAA state playoffs. Couple of games are being played tonight. Some of the Birmingham teams are playing. I guess they had some threat of weather. Not too sure what's happening up there. And coming up tonight at 5:30, I will be on the air on the Auburn High Sports Network for our first basketball broadcast. Yes, I'm so excited, man. Basketball season, if you know me, it's my time of the year. That's going to be on 96.3 W Lee. That's 96.3 FM on your radio dial, 963WLEE.com. For all of those people that have our Radio Alabama app, you can listen on there as well. We're on right around 5:30, girls, and then boys right after. Carver Montgomery's in town for the season opener. I can't wait for that coming up tonight. But when we come back to start hour number two, Auburn High's head football coach Keith Etheridge is joining us next.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. And if you missed any of hour number one, we had a lot of fun, man. It was just you and me, but had a lot of fun. No Brad Law from today. We'll pick back up with him next week. We were able to, or I guess he had to get ready and everything as Auburn is going out to Houston. And so we took off this week. We will pick back up next week. But we talked a lot of Auburn basketball as the Tigers had a 51-point win against Vermont last night inside of Neville Arena. And also talked a lot of college football as there's some big-time games coming up this weekend with playoff implications for sure, especially in the SEC. So all of that was in hour number one. You can go and listen to the podcast later on today at ESPNAU.com. You can also find our SEC Football Challenge there. Those picks are due every week, Friday at midnight, so be sure you get those in. And here in hour number two, we have so much to get to. Two great guests are going to be with us in this hour. Chris Gordy of the Locked.SEC podcast will join us in about 30 minutes or so to talk all things Southeastern Conference football and now basketball. So looking forward to that. And we're about to get to the phone lines with Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge. But before we do, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the second hour, 3 to 4, each and every day here on ESPN. Let's get to the phone lines because we've got the man, Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, joining us on the phone lines. What's up, coach? How are you, man? You enjoyed the bye week last week?
Oh, yeah, man. Get a little rested up and get these guys ready to make a playoff run.
Man, I hope we can make us a big playoff run and just cap off what's been an incredible regular season, as you guys are the number one team in the state of Alabama, 9-0 overall record, 7-0 in Region 2 play, and the number 23 ranked team in the country. Coach, what's that mean to you?
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, all those accolades are great, but, you know, at the end of the day, we want to lift that blue map at the end of the year, you know, so we got to take it one game at a time. And you know, but that it does sound great. You know, to be 9-0 and 7-0 in this brutal region, you know, that we're in, and you know, just to for these guys to be undefeated and doing things the right way, it just means a lot to not only to the coaching staff, the kids, you know, the school, the city, and the entire program.
Well, before we talk about what's coming up tomorrow night as Bob Jones comes to town for the first round of the playoffs, let's look back a little bit on what has been one of the best regular seasons in Auburn High School football history, where you go undefeated, and it started way back when with North Miami Beach, and it seems like it was just yesterday. Yeah. We were talking and preparing for that game, and you take down them. Yeah. And Vestavia Hills, and then you get Opelika, and what was a great, great game, and that really just started it all with wins at Enterprise and Central and Carver Montgomery. I mean, man, you guys just ran right through the regular season.
Yeah, it's been a great regular season, and some really tough games. You know, some really, really good teams are in this region, and you know, a lot of teams that we played, you know, even out of region like Vestavia, they're still in it. You know, so it's one of the, and we're supposed to play Moody. Moody's still in it in 5A. You know, they're playing in 5A, so. Just it's been a special year for these guys. Had, you know, one young man, Omar Mavson, break the touchdown record, single season touchdown record. So that was big. You know, we've had great play out of so many different guys, and it's been a special year.
Well, in the start of the year, you had such great things to say about your team and your players because you had been with them all offseason, and you knew what you had. But what are some things that you've learned about this team from the beginning until now, as they are where they are with all the accolades, getting ready for the first round of the playoffs? Yeah. What have you learned from the start till now about your team?
They're just unselfish. You know, we have a lot of guys that just play for the A, and they don't play for individuals. You know, they're here to win football games, and they're not worried about stats and things like that, you know, because very easily we could have some guys who with huge stats, but they're not worried about that. You know, we've taken some guys out at halftime, and, you know, Omar could really have over 2,000 yards rushing. You know, Jackson Kilgore could have 3,000 or 4,000 yards passing. I mean, but, you know, we've taken them out at halftime in a bunch of games, just to keep them healthy and really to get ready for this run that's coming up right now, you know. And I think that's the biggest thing about this group, the unselfishness, the team concept, you know. They're very coachable, you know, and that makes a huge difference when you're trying to win not only football games on Friday night, but trying to win championships.
Well, you mentioned the big word is health, and that's one blessing that I think this team has had, Coach, is on the outside looking in and from our conversations. I mean, this team has stayed relatively healthy, knock on wood. I mean, up to this point, there have been very minimal injuries, and guys seem to have recovered quickly from those. I mean, that's just not something that happens very often.
Yeah, we've lost a couple guys, but, you know, it's expected in a year. You know, you just won't want to get in a situation where you're losing 4 and 5 guys who are starters. You know, we've got some guys that are a little banged up, but, you know, that's expected, you know, this late in the season. And we've sort of dodged the injury bug. And when we've had the injury bug, you know, it's been on weeks where we've been able to have some guys step in and do a really good job replacing them and then get those guys back. So, you know, I think that's been a huge asset for us. We got to continue that because, you know, now it's win or go home.
Auburn High's head football coach Keith Etheridge with us on the phone lines. He joins me every Thursday throughout football season starting at 3 o'clock. I'm going to ask you a different type of question here, Coach. If you were preparing for your team, right, if you were not at Auburn and you were preparing to play this Auburn High School team, would you start preparing first for the offense or the defense? Because both sides of the football are just so dangerously talented.
Whew, I don't know. I'm going to say this, defensively, we get after the football. Our kids really, really rally to the football.
And, yes, they do.
Up front, we're really good up front on defense. Our linebackers fly to the football. They can really run. And our secondary has improved every single week throughout the year. And we knew that coming in. We were kind of young there to start with. But now it's one of our strengths. Our secondary is playing real good, and then you turn over to the offensive side, and it's tough to prepare for teams that can do both things and are balanced. I think that Coach Wag has done a really good job of keeping us balanced and in the run pass situation. We're going to throw it as much as we run it. You can try to stop Omar, but then you got to deal with Peyton Plott, Askew, Tony, Cash Reef, Jackson Kilgore. There's tons of guys that you're going to have to stop, Charlie Ward. If you can't really focus on one guy because we have a lot of weapons. And the offensive line is playing great right now. So,
yes, they are. It doesn't matter if it is run blocking or pass pro. There are several times I can play them back in my head right now that Kilgore just dances back there and just hopping and hopping and just begging for somebody to get open. And that's not a receiver issue. I'm saying he's just got so much time because of the offensive line. And then, the holes that they've created for Omar, which he doesn't need a big one, but they do a fantastic job anyway. And so that's what makes your team so dangerous is they are so good on both sides of the football and on special teams, too. With Peyton Plott returning punts and Joseph Daniel, who has been nearly automatic this year with his leg, it just makes you guys so well-rounded.
Yeah, and, our snappers, our holders, everybody's doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I think that, it takes a total team effort. We've won some games because of people, not being as solid on special teams. I think that helped us big time in the Carver game, and our special teams played really well. So, that is three phases of the game. You got to win all three phases, especially come playoff time.
Well, now that it is playoff time, let's turn our focus to Bob Jones, the team that's coming in tomorrow night for round one of the playoffs, taking on the Auburn High Tigers. Full broadcast over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com tomorrow night, pregame 6:30 and kickoff at 7. What can you tell our listeners about Bob Jones and what they're bringing to the Duck tomorrow night, Coach?
Very athletic team. They have some weapons out wide. They got three running backs who are really good. They got the receivers. You got 11, you got 1, you got 12. They've got some really good receivers. The quarterback, solid kid. He can run, he can throw it. He's we got to know where he's at all the time. Find those receivers, make sure we lock those guys down and make sure we keep the top on it. Don't give them those big plays. They've scored a lot of points offensively. They're pretty good up front. Their defensive front has a couple of D1 guys up there. It's a good football team. They've lost like four games, but three of those games are by score or less. So we got to make sure that we come prepared to play.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling people. They've been asking, hey, what is Bob Jones bringing? Are they any good? What do they look like? And they're only 6-4 this year. And it's like, but don't look at that. This is playoffs time, Coach. That records don't matter anymore. None of that is anything. You've got to flip the page. And you say this all the time, right? Nameless, faceless opponent.
That's right. Every week, especially from now to the end, you play a nameless, faceless opponent. You just got to play your game and do what you do and just go win football games in this stretch right here. I finished year 7-3. And been 12-3 in one state championships at the end of the year. Especially when you're in regions like we play in. You playing great football teams every week in, week out. So you better be prepared every week. And we can't have any lapses. Especially at this time of the year. We haven't so far. Our kids have been really good at stepping up to the plate in big games and playing their best. I still say, we still haven't played our best. But I'll tell you this. This week at practice, we've had our best week of practice we've had all year.
Our kids
are flying around. They're it was almost like being out there Monday was almost like week one. They were so excited to be out there, and and so ready to get this playoff run started.
Well, man, the state of Alabama just started buckling at the knees, Coach. If they're hearing that Auburn has yet to play their best in what they've been doing so far this season, it may not be fair for the people that stand in your way. One more question before I let you get out of here. I'm curious on what your personal coaching strategy is when the playoffs do come, right? When that calendar changes, when the regular season's gone, it's easy for kids to get excited for the playoffs and sometimes too excited, right, and too amped. And so I'm curious on what your strategy is to get them ready, get them focused, but to keep it under control.
Yeah, you've got to stay on that even keel. I mean, you've got to be ready to play, but you also don't want to get so amped up that you have those big ups and downs. You know, you want to make sure that you stay on that even keel. And I tell our kids, it doesn't matter what happens, you know, up to the first kickoff. You know, once that toe meets that leather, you've got to be all out 110%, and we've got to have, you know, concentration and controlled, basically controlled chaos, flying around, you know, having fun, just enjoy the moments, but do it in the right way. We got to make sure that we do things in the right way. And, you know, I tell our kids from snap to whistle, we've got to be 100 miles an hour. And then after the whistle, everything stops. We go back to the line of scrimmage, and we get ready for that next play. And when that ball snaps, it's 100 miles an hour again. So, and you're going to see us. We're going to play fast. We're going to play physical, and we're going to play Auburn football for the rest of the way.
We can't wait for it, man. Round one of the playoffs tomorrow night at Duck Sanford Stadium here at home. Auburn hosting Bob Jones. Auburn High hosting Bob Jones for the first round of the playoffs. And again, the game broadcast tomorrow night. Myself, Jack Cutting on the call. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7. Coach, we always appreciate your time as we've been speaking with Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. You're with me every Thursday, and I hope to do this for many, many more weeks, Coach. Good luck tomorrow night, and go Tigers.
Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate everything y'all do, man. Go Tigers.
That's Coach Keith Etheridge, man, the best in the business. We appreciate him and his time every single week as the Tigers get ready to host Bob Jones tomorrow night at Duck Sanford Stadium. It starts now. The postseason's here. And for those of you that don't know, right, the 7A playoffs look a little bit different than, well, let me say this. They look a little bit different than all the other post playoffs in 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A. But they also look a little bit different this year than they have in the past, right? Here's what I mean by that. 7A football, there's not as many teams, not as many regions, and so they play one less round of the state playoffs for football. So that Friday after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, the 7A playoffs don't take place. There's no games then, because that's the week that they take off. And so that's what's different about that compared to the other classifications. But it's also different this year because you have it to where the 7A playoffs have changed. It's no longer North versus South in the state championship game. It's in a pod system, and anybody can play anybody. And if you've looked at that bracket, if Auburn is to make a run, they could play the likes of Hoover, Central, Opelika, lots of big names on that side of the bracket. But got to start tomorrow. Start tomorrow, focus tomorrow, and win tomorrow. Bob Jones is in the Duck tomorrow night again. Myself on the call, Jack Cutting joins me. Rob Pate will be back next week. That's on the Auburn High Sports Network on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7. Thanks so much to Coach Etheridge. He is awesome, man. Love that dude, and love talking to him every single week. We'll take our first break here in hour number two. This is your chance to get in on the phone lines if you want to. 334-321-1390. Short segment when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Welcome back into the Thursday edition of On the Line. Appreciate Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He's been with me. He was with me all last year during football season, even though I was doing Lee Scott. He was still graceful with his time and willing to jump on the show each and every week. And then he's been with us again this season, and he's just awesome. I say this all the time, and I tell people when, you know, when I talk about him and talk about covering this Auburn High football team, it's just, it's one of the best coaches that I've ever been around and been able to cover, because he's just so, he's so kind and he's so open and just so thankful for what we do on the radio side of it. And that means a lot, man. It really, really does. And so always enjoy having him on the show. And you can tell they're locked in. They're ready to go. Says Auburn has yet to play their best football. I know coaches say that all the time. They do. They say it a lot. But he could be right. And if he is, as I told him, the state of Alabama is not ready if Auburn has yet to play their best football. So Auburn High gets their playoff run started tomorrow. Again, that is a 6:30 pregame kickoff at 7 with myself and Jack Hutton on the Auburn High Sports Network on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. That's where football lives. And then starting tonight, as I mentioned, I'll plug it a little bit later too, Auburn High School basketball gets started. That's tonight as well on 96.3 W Lee or 963WLEE.com. And for all of you who have our Radio Alabama app, you can listen on there as well on the air right around 5:30 is when the girls get started. So may go live a few minutes earlier. So looking forward to that. Also looking forward to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joining us in just a few minutes. So you still have time if you want to get in on the show, 334-321-1390. Want to go back to Auburn basketball for just a second, because, man, what they did last night against Vermont was something special. And it cannot be overlooked, cannot be understated that what they did made waves nationally. I mean, it really, really does, because, and it did, because everybody took notice. And I'm just telling you, at the end of this season, when Vermont wins their conference, when they make it to the NCAA tournament, we're going to look back and say, huh, that was a pretty good win for Auburn. This was no ordinary, just any no-name mid-major that Auburn could find. And I think it adds to what Auburn wanted to do with their non-conference schedule. That's what it added. And it's one of those games. I put this in Richmond in that category where, sure, Houston and Purdue and Duke and Ohio State, Iowa State, they're all going to be highlighted. But the ones that I'm going to continue to look at are the Richmonds and the Vermonts, because that just adds to it. And so shout out to Auburn and what they did last night. We had a big breakdown of that in our number one. Want to give you the latest, which I know it's way, way, way too early for this. I do. It's way too early. But you have some bracketologies out there that have Auburn bouncing around, and it just depends on which one you want to look at, right? But I'm curious on where you stand in terms of what the expectations are for Auburn this year. Even before last night, or after last night, if you want to give me those too, what are your expectations for Auburn basketball this year? What do you want them to be? What do you expect them to be? What is the standard that you have set for this program this year? Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, mine's pretty high. Mine's pretty high. And I have a feeling a lot of you are in that same boat. And it's hard because, and I've had to be reminded of this, it's hard to win championships in college basketball. It's probably the hardest postseason to win because it's the most unpredictable. The most unpredictable. Where you step into a tournament and you play, let's see, right? Is it six or is it five? Round of 64, 32, 16, 8, 4. So you play six games to win a national championship. Six in a row. Over a three-week span. If you win, you move on. And if you lose, you're done. And out of those six games, if you make a run to the championship, you're going to play more than likely, on average, I'd say five out of six teams that you've never seen before, that you did not play at all this season. I would say the odds are that, if not more. I mean, how often do you get a conference rematch or even a non-conference rematch in the NCAA tournament? They do a good job of trying to prevent that anyway. So you play teams that you just don't know anything about. Now, you get to prep and do all that, but, man, especially in those early rounds, you just don't have a whole lot of time. And crazy things happen. The tournament is one of the wildest sporting events that exists. And he thought it was hard to get a perfect bracket before. Man, it may be harder now than it's ever been. And so where I'm going with this is I had to be reminded, and rightfully so, and I'm glad that they did, was reminded that it's hard to win a national championship in college basketball because of all the factors that play into it. And so rather than a championship or bust type of mentality, I was told that's not fair, and I think that's correct. I think that's right. This isn't the football side of things where you win these 10 games, you win your conference championship, and you play a couple of games and you win it all. That's not how basketball works. It's such a mystery that I think there has to be a limit of where you can set the expectation because of so much uncontrolled chaos and uncontrolled variables, there we go, that luck is a big one that you have to play into this thing. And so where do you put Auburn basketball? What is your expectation? I'm telling you, mine's pretty high. It's really, really high. I'm not willing to share it yet, but I do want to know where you put this team. We're way past, oh, they should just make the tournament. Okay. Which I know that's crazy, and I know there are old school basketball fans here in Auburn that are mad that I just did that because, oh, I remember when it was a miracle to make the tournament. I get that, but guess what? Those days are gone. Sorry, those days are long gone. Auburn should make the tournament every year now. Every year. There's no excuse not to. I'm sorry. There's not. And I think a lot of people would say, hey, why don't you just beat Yale? Get out of the first round. Get out of the first weekend. I think that's a solid expectation, don't you? Given Auburn's past and what they have not done recently? Yeah. How about start with getting out of the first weekend of the tournament? Then we can talk bigger picture after that. All right, coming up after the break, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He joins us coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz, and we get to the phone lines and welcome in Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, your daily podcast covering all things Southeastern Conference. What's up, Chris? How are you, man?
Well, I'm doing better than the Auburn football program, I'll tell you that.
Hey, basketball season's here. We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, we'll talk Auburn football in a second, and we'll talk all things SEC football, but now we do get the opportunity to talk a little basketball as well. I guess we'll jump into it. I mean, what do you have to say about Auburn? I mean, football. Is there anything else that we haven't said this year and just the depression that has been this football season?
Well, I had somebody ask me yesterday, you know, what's the latest on this rumor that, you know, Hugh Freeze could bench Peyton Thorne and go to one of the younger quarterbacks. And my take was basically like, too little too late? Like, what's that going to prove? You know, when you talk about the rest of the season, I don't know what else you really have to play for other than getting ready for the future. And, you know, I mean, this should have been, you know, when he made the decision earlier in the year, what with Hank Brown, I mean, I know he struggled, but like you should have maybe just stuck with him or even thrown Walker White out there, because here's the problem with next year. You know, next year is the prove it year. Like next year is you've got to be good next year. And what you can't do is, you know, Walker White wins the job in the spring and you start the season and you lose a couple games, and Hughes starts to sell us on, you know, it's, look, it's growing pains because he's young, but you know, he's getting his feet under him. And it's like, dude, you don't have another transition year. Like, you have to win next year at a high level. So to me, I don't know. He's in a tough spot here. I mean, I almost feel like he almost has to go out and get a quarterback in the portal. But what's a tough sell is, I mean, look at the quarterbacks that, you know, were in the portal, or at least the really good ones. They went to contenders. Dylan Gabriel went to Oregon because he knew he could go play for a championship there. You know, you look at just some of the other schools. I mean, like, you know, okay, a Talon Green leaves Boise State for Arkansas. I mean, is that level quarterback going to take Auburn to the next level next year? I don't think so. So, you know, I don't know. They're in a tough spot. You know, if you go and get a quarterback through the portal, you're going to lose one of these recruits. That's just how it works. But at the end of the day, do you really want to go into next year with Hank Brown and Walker White and, you know, that bunch and say, all right, well, one of these guys is going to win the job? I don't know. You're in a really tough spot this offseason if you're Auburn.
Yeah, and there's so much conversation of, oh, well, it'll be Walker White. Will it be Hank Brown? Should it just be Peyton Thorne and we get out of the season and move on? I mean, I'm with you. I've been saying I don't think Hank Brown got a fair shake in this whole thing. I mean, he had a good game against New Mexico and then a bad first half against Arkansas, and that was like, well, there was your one shining moment. You blew it. Thanks so much. See you later. I didn't think that was right, but here we are. So in terms of what Auburn can do this offseason to make it better, Chris, I mean, is it the obvious choice of just going and getting somebody in the portal and seeing what happens?
I mean, that's my thought, and kind of looking around at some of the kids that are out there. I mean, you know, Noah Fifita at Arizona, I know was a kid that people were very high on. He kind of took a step back this year, but that's a kid I could see on the move. There's been rumblings that Michael Van Buren at Mississippi State, that he's going to have a lot of programs trying to come after him if he thinks about entering the portal. And obviously he's a true freshman who's been playing very well at Mississippi State. So, you know, those are just some of the names out there that, you know, that have been floated of kids that potentially could enter the portal. You know, look, everybody's going to be looking for the next Diego Pavia. I mean, and in hindsight, you know, look, I don't think it ever was realistic that he was going to go to Auburn. I know he kind of threw it in Auburn's face after he beat him. But, like, you know, somebody told me, they said, well, if you would have taken Diego Pavia, you would have had to take Jerry Kill and Tim Beck. And I'm going, okay, so, like.
Yeah, darn.
Clearly, Hugh running the offense isn't working. So, you know, I would have taken that package deal. But, yeah, man, it's I don't know. I don't know what the answer is going to be. I mean, there'll probably be some surprise names out there, kids that catch your eye and go, okay, that kid's in the portal's great. But I don't know, man. Like I said, the tough sell is most of the really good quarterbacks that enter the portal want to go to a championship contender. And is Auburn a championship contender next year? I mean, maybe you can make the case with the dynamic freshman wide receivers and, you know, DJ Durkin as defensive coordinator and, you know, another top five recruiting class. Maybe you can make the sell, but it's going to be a tough sell.
Look at you trying to talk positive about Auburn. I'm impressed. I really am. You're growing as a person, Chris. I'm impressed by your openness to call Auburn a possible championship contender next year with Hugh Freeze. Before we talk about games coming up this weekend, I think the biggest news of the day in college football was the news in Gainesville, where Florida came out, I guess unexpectedly, and said, hey, just to let you know, Billy Napier's not going anywhere. He saved his job. He's coming back for another year in Gainesville. Your thoughts on Billy Napier retaining his job at Florida?
Yeah, I kind of like it. I mean, look, we live in this day and age where, you know, we want to fire coaches so quick and we don't really give them a chance to show what they can do. I mean, I think some coaches should get at least a couple of years to, you know, especially when he walked into a tough situation at Florida where, you know, he had to rebuild their toughness. And let's be honest. I mean, the schedule last year and this year, absolutely brutal for Florida. So I feel like Napier hasn't really gotten a fair shake in that aspect. You know, look, the arrow was pointing upward with DJ Lagway before he got hurt. I mean, the defense was starting to play much better. They had a halftime lead on Georgia. I still feel like if Lagway doesn't get hurt last week, they have an honest chance to beat Georgia, you know, if Lagway plays the entire game. You know, they came an eyelash away from upsetting Tennessee. They beat the snot out of UCF. So, I mean, they've been much improved the last few weeks. And what's funny is you look back at their losses and, yeah, getting blown out against Miami and losing big to A&M, turns out both those teams are really good this year. So, you know, it's I think you're just a victim of the schedule. And if the schedule gets easier in the next couple of years, we'll start to see what Napier can really be. But I think the move was DJ Lagway inspired, because I think Florida doesn't want to lose him. Yes, he's getting a good NIL deal from them, but I think they realize if you fire Napier, you're going to lose Lagway. He's going to hit the portal and he's off to the, you know, the next team. And if you keep Napier, I think you have an honest, really good chance to keep Lagway around. And I'd love to see what he would look like as a sophomore and then a junior at Florida. I think they could be much better. So I like the move. I know a lot of Florida fans don't really like it. They wanted to go get somebody else. But, you know, my question back to them is, who do you want? And who are you going to get? I mean, at this point, Lane Kiffin, he's probably going to, you know, he's an underdog this weekend in Georgia. If he loses that one, they've got three losses. That's an Ole Miss team that's going to miss the playoff with three losses. So, you know, is that really, and this was Lane Kiffin's best team that he had since he's been Ole Miss. So, like, I don't know. Is he going to be the savior in the swamp? I don't think so. And, you know, what other big names out there did you really want? So, I don't know. I like standing by Napier. I know some people will question it, but, you know, when you would have to think about this, I mean, you were going to have to pay him upwards of $20 million in a buyout.
Oh.
You're going to have to pay the new head coach $20 million, you know, $20, $30 million, whatever it is. You know, and then on top of it, you're going to start, you know, the revenue sharing with $20 million paying for players. That's a lot of money going around that, you know, Florida would probably be better served just sticking with Napier another year.
It's just money, man. It's just cash. Doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's just a couple of million dollars. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Just fork it over and move on, right? No, I'm with you. I think I gave Florida a lot of credit earlier in the show where I said it's very unheard of for a program to come out and back their head coach and say we believe in him, and I personally believe in him. I think he loves Florida. I think he's going to make them successful, and maybe they could do it this weekend when they walk into Austin as three touchdown underdogs against Texas, as we talk with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Let's talk about some of these games this weekend. Really three of them to note: Florida, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss, and then, of course, Alabama and LSU.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Lagway injury, I mean, we all thought, okay, strained hamstring, that's at least a month he's going to be out. And then, you know, I don't know if it's just gamesmanship on Billy Napier's part, but, I mean, he comes out the other day and says, yeah, it wasn't as serious as we thought. And, you know, he's questionable to play this week. And even the update as of yesterday was there's a chance he could go. And if Lagway plays, they're going to have a chance against Texas. If they got to go with the, is it Wagner? Or I don't even know what the kid's name is from the Yale transfer.
Yeah.
They're going to have no chance. They're going to get blown out. So, I think this is all Lagway. If Lagway plays even not 100%, I think he's going to have a chance to be in this game with Texas. But outside of that, I mean, the Georgia Ole Miss game, everybody I've talked to thinks we're going to see the best version of Georgia, even though, you know, Carson Beck has been a turnover machine as of late. The craziest stat I heard is, you know, Carson Beck, each of his last two games, he's thrown three interceptions, and yet Georgia's won by at least two touchdowns in both those games. I mean, what does that tell you about how good this defense is for Georgia? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if any other team's quarterbacks throws three interceptions, that team's getting blown out or, you know, at least losing a close game. I tend to trust Georgia on the road. The big one to watch here, though, is the running back. Trevor Etienne's been banged up. He may not go this week. And Henry Parrish, the leading rusher for Ole Miss, has already been ruled out. He's a top five rusher in the SEC. He's out. Matt Jones, their backup running back, is out. Ulysses Bentley, who was supposed to be one of the guys contending for the starting spot, we've barely seen him at all this year. They had a kid named Dominic Thomas that came out of nowhere last week that ran the ball decently for him. But, like, if Ole Miss doesn't have a run game to complement Jackson Dart and they become one-dimensional, yeah, it's advantage Georgia, and I think Georgia wins going away. So that one will be interesting. And LSU, Alabama, I think this is a very, I mean, to me, this is like a 50-50 game. I mean, it's LSU at home. Brian Kelly has not lost a game at night in Death Valley since he's been head coach at LSU. In fact, he's only lost one game at home since he's been there. That was 2 years ago to Hendon Hooker in Tennessee. So, I mean, you know, and everybody keeps saying Alabama, Alabama, Alabama. It's not Nick Saban's Alabama. When you stop and look and realize Alabama is 0-2 on the road this year in the conference, it would not shock me if they start 0-3 on the road in the conference. It's tough to win on the road in the SEC. Losing at Tennessee, no shame in that. losing on the road to LSU, no shame in that. Losing on the road to Vandy, yeah, there's a lot of shame in that one. They already did that one. So, to me, Milroe's going to have to play flawless. If he turns the ball over, is throwing wildly inaccurate balls. Everybody's questioning Garrett Nussmeier. I'm going, guys, all because the last time we saw him, yes, he had the worst half of his career in the second half on the road at A&M. But he was on the road at night at A&M. I expect him to play much better at home in Death Valley. So, I don't know. But my edge wants to go LSU. I feel like this, Jacob, one of those upsets is going to happen. Either Ole Miss will upset Georgia or LSU will upset Alabama. It's crazy that both those teams are home underdogs in the SEC. One of those is getting the upset.
I think you're right, and I think it's LSU over Alabama. I don't, with all the injuries Ole Miss has that you mentioned, and I think Georgia and Carson Beck have to have a good game and respond. I think they will. I think Georgia wins. I think they win going away. And I said earlier, I don't know how LSU is the underdog here. I think LSU should be favored. I said if I were to blindly look at it, I would have LSU favored in this.
Well, let me give you one more stat. I mean, everybody's talking about LSU. I heard one of the CBS guys say yesterday, oh, well, LSU has no run game. Well, LSU's been trying to run the football. They haven't been successful. Go look at where those defenses they've been playing against rank. I mean, these are top 30, top 35 defenses that they've been going up against the last couple of weeks in terms of stopping the run. Guess where Alabama ranks? Third to last in the SEC. I mean, they're something like 80th. In stopping the run. So, to me, if you're LSU, Caden Durham, the freshman, we're going to see very early. If they're gashing Bama for 4 or 5 yards a carry early on, it's advantage LSU because then they can be balanced and it's not all on Nussmeier to throw. So that one's very interesting. And again, you know, I just go back to weird things happen at home in this conference. We've seen so many home teams hold serve. In fact, Texas, you know, getting upset at home by Georgia, it's one of the few marquee losses among, you know, the big game matchups. Almost all the games that have been at night at home, the home team has held serve. Go back to, you know, A&M beating LSU 2 weeks ago, South Carolina beating A&M last week. I just think when good on good meets, it's advantage home team. That's why we talk about it's home field advantage in the SEC.
We're going to see what happens. LSU hosting Alabama. And what I think, Chris, I know we don't technically know what elimination games are yet with the playoff, but with the first rankings coming out and the fact that Bama's 11, 15 is LSU, both teams with two losses, do you consider this an elimination game, winners in, losers out?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But, you know what, here's the thing. If anybody would get in with three losses, it would be Alabama. I mean, for whatever reason, they still get the benefit of the doubt. I still think the road loss at Vandy is inexcusable. Now, you can talk about LSU's week one loss to USC, but, you know, look, neutral field week one, anything can happen. If Bama loses this one, come on, man. Like, you're talking about 0-3 on the road in the SEC. Like, that should not be deserving enough to get in, but we're blinded by the Bama bias. We've been conditioned for the last decade plus to go, oh, well, they're just good. Even when they lose, they're good. Like, you know, people always start that stupid conversation of, well, they're still one of the best teams. Well, of course they are. They're like five deep with five stars in every spot every year. Like, of course they're going to be one of the best teams. But to me, you got to earn it, and you got to have a resume. And when I look at Alabama, they've got one of the best resume wins this year. You beat Georgia at home, great. But three losses should negate that. That should eliminate them if they lose this weekend.
There you go. Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss, two of the biggest games in the SEC. I assume you're in Baton Rouge this weekend, Chris?
Yeah. We'll be doing a special Locked On SEC tomorrow afternoon from Baton Rouge. And then, we'll be covering the game and see if LSU pulls it out.
Tell people where they can find you and what you got coming up from Baton Rouge this weekend.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcast. Like I said, we'll have an edition tomorrow previewing the Alabama LSU series and all the games happening this weekend. Locked On SEC, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast.
When does basketball coverage start on the podcast?
January. we'll get around it. We'll get around to it.
Hey, you're not gonna be able to go to Houston and watch Auburn play the Cougars this weekend.
No, yeah, I told you that a few weeks ago. I was disappointed because I was excited to see that one in person. And when I realized it was the same weekend as LSU Alabama, I said, man, I'm going to miss it. But I'm sure some Auburn fans with the bye week will be making the drive up here. It should be a heck of a game. And the Houston Cougars, Kelvin Sampson's doing a heck of a job with them. So that's going to be a really good test for Bruce Pearl's team.
Yeah, I wish I could be there. Got high school football playoffs on Friday, so makes it a little tough to get over there on Saturday. So we'll be watching from here, but excited to see that. Chris, have a fantastic weekend, my man. Always appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, thanks, dude.
Thanks so much. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check him out wherever you get your podcast, audio, or video on YouTube. He is the best covering the Southeastern Conference. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Appreciate Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Just got off the phone with him. Had a lot of fun talking SEC football. He says basketball talk doesn't start till January. Not around here, it doesn't, because we don't have football to talk about. So January, well, so Auburn basketball, again, getting their win last night against Vermont. We'll talk about basketball if he doesn't want to. And a lot of fun on the show today with Chris Gordon. We did talk a lot of football with Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss coming up this weekend, even Florida, Texas, which could get interesting around the Southeastern Conference as Auburn is on a bye week. I also talked to Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He joined us at 3 o'clock today as Auburn High School football gets ready to start the playoffs. They will begin starting tomorrow night at Duck Sanford Stadium. Bob Jones coming to town. I'll be able to tell you more about that tomorrow, but we will have the radio broadcast on Wings 94.3. That is tomorrow night. Again, I'll plug some more of that on the show tomorrow. And in hour number one, it was you and me. We talked college football a little bit, talked college basketball, dove into the Auburn and Vermont game from last night where the Tigers win by 51 points. It was impressive, man. I'll tell you what. So all of that and more was on the show today. And I appreciate everybody who's been a part of it through the whole thing, in and out, whatever the case may be. Appreciate you being a part of the show and a fan of the show, fan of the station. So if you missed any of it, though, you can go back and listen to the podcast. It's on ESPNAU.com. That's our station website. Also, be sure you get your picks in for the SEC Football Challenge. Had a text saying something was messed up on it, but believe that has been recently fixed. So if you were having troubles with it before, try it again and be sure that it's working. Let me know if it is not. Coming up tonight, though, really excited, man. If you're looking for something to listen to, if you're working late, driving home, in the office, whatever the case may be, Auburn High School basketball gets started tonight. Girls and boys season opener against Carver Montgomery. We're going to go do the thing tonight at Auburn High School Gymnasium. Really excited to be on the air on the Auburn High Sports Network. First basketball game in quite some time. So bear with me tonight. We'll be knocking off the rust a little bit, but we're going to have a lot of fun on the Auburn High Sports Network. All Auburn High basketball games that we broadcast are on 96.3 W Lee. That's 96.3 FM on your radio dial. And 963WLEE.com. Okay. Girls start at 5:30. We'll probably go on the air a couple of minutes before that and get you ready for that game. All one big broadcast will carry it right into the boys' game as they get started at 7 o'clock tonight. All of that on the Auburn High Sports Network on 963WLEE. Coming up tomorrow, it's a free-for-all Friday. Uncle T-Bone's back in the studio. Christian Griffin's in the studio. We got a lot to talk about. Basketball, football, high school football, you name it. We'll cover it on a free-for-all Friday. We'll look forward to that coming up tomorrow right here on ESPN. That's when we're back, 2 to 4 on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.